Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Have you ever wondered if it's all just stories? Well, Dáigh de Gheobhar agus Fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School. And it is something I have considered. I have considered a lot. And so when we talk about our mythology in Ireland, when we talk about our kind of ancient past, our heroes, our druids, the magical naming of the land and practices that were done here, the ancient kind of beliefs and structures around, like, you know, the fire festivals, Imbolc Bealtaine, and Lunasa and Samhain, like all of these things kind of interwoven from our ancient mythology and our stories, is what we have. And it's all that we have, because it does come from those tales, because so much of it was eradicated by colonization, intentionally destroyed. I refer to myself as a bard, and a bard's role in ancient society was to tell the stories. But the stories weren't just told for entertainment. They were told to remember stuff. They were told to share examples. They were told to share inspiration. They were told in order to encourage people to be aware of the nobility of their line or their relationship with the land around them, the naming of the landscape in which they exist, and so, so much more. Or to give them kind of warnings and educations about how to rule in the right way, or how to act justly, and or the price for acting unjustly or unhospitably in many circumstances. So the reason why the stories were told were many and varied, but every story had a reason. Every one of these old tales had some kind of educational underlying element, some aspect or some facet of it that was commentary on a certain aspect of society or a certain aspect of power and control, especially those stories that were satirical in nature, because under the ancient Irish laws, a satire placed against someone was a legal kind of construct, was a legal kind of circumstance, in that the people who were at the upper levels of culture and society, because ancient Ireland was a caste society, multi-caste society, but those who were at the top could lose their status and lose their position within society if they had a legal satire placed against them. And a satire was a story. So when we talk about it being stories, it's not just stories as we understand it today. It's not just a work of fiction said to be entertaining and just for the place of distraction. It was so much more to our ancient ancestors and our culture. And that's where it can be a little bit disheartening when we have the challenge around knowing that there are so many stories lost, because the ancient Irish society was an oral society. Every gathering, every kind of hearth space, every kind of people in their tribal, in their tuas, in their homes, or any kind of éineadh or festival or gathering, storytelling was core to it. In many instances, you couldn't actually begin an éineadh, which was a gathering of kings or chieftains, without first having a bard or a fila at the upper levels of the societal structure perform the story of who their lord is, who their king is, and their ancestry, where they come from, how they're connected to the land, and, like, you know, their right to be in the position that they are in because of their lineage, because of their connection, not just through their own bloodline, but to the landscape around them. And that's why there were some very important places on the island which were places of inauguration. There were places where chieftains and kings would go in order to renew or to engage in that connection with their bloodline and their ancestry on the land itself. And we know this because in the cycle of kings, there's many stories of, you know, certain lords or rulers losing their ancestral inauguration site. It was one of the biggest kind of coups you could pull off against an enemy if you could invade and destroy their ancestral inauguration site. And it was something that was very important to the culture, but all of it is about the story. All of it is, like, you know, why is that place significant? Why is it important? Because generations of people have been there, because the generation and all the way back, this narrative, the story connects those people to that landscape. And so there are so many different aspects to this approach to Irish paganism when we look at the information or the stories in their own definitions from our ancient mythology. So the stories were oral initially. We know that they were transcribed by early Christians who brought in the linguistic structure, which means that a lot of them were written in Proto-Irish, very old Irish, which is a significantly different language to modern Irish. But some aspects of them were written in Latin as well, which was the monastic kind of language of the educated people in those areas. We know from these books, like the Book of Kells, the Great Book of Lecan, the Yellow Book of Lecan, Laran Hudra, all of these vast vellum manuscripts, which were laboriously inked over time, with scratchings of iron ink and beautifully illuminated. That takes a lot of effort, and we can carbon date the actual vellum skin. We know when they were created. Many of them talk about timelines in history. Some of the more famous ones can be dated between the 12th and the 14th century Common Era. But linguistically, we can look at that and say that the language, the Proto-Irish, can be dated between the 8th and the 9th century Common Era. So this is thousands of years old, literally thousands of year old stories. But it wasn't just, I'll just jot this down, or I'll take 5 minutes and I'll just write this with a pen on a piece of paper, or I'll leave a memo or anything like that at all. This was the investment of generations. And we know this because it's not all written in one script, in one handwriting. We can actually see where one story was started by one person and it was picked up by another person to be finished in a different handwriting entirely. So why would that be done? What was the value in writing down these old tales unless there was some information or some value to those tales themselves? And these monastic tomes didn't just contain the stories. They also contained the births, deaths, marriages, the ledgers for the monastery, all of that kind of stuff. But they went out of their way to include extra pages, extra effort, extra kind of intergenerational effort to document these tales from old Ireland into it. And so as much as people deride sometimes, it's all colored and biased because Christians wrote it down, it can't exactly be pagan anymore because Christians wrote it, you're missing a bit of a fucking trick here, folks, because why would they go to the effort if it wasn't something of value, if it wasn't something that, despite their own beliefs differing, they still saw something in those stories that was worth relaying and worth capturing? And in many of the instances, the bias is very clear. There's a part where it talks about, in the Second Battle of Moytura, the Dagda leaves the meeting of the men of the goddess and goes to meet with the woman at the ford in the river Unshin. And so it describes the coupling at the ford and how this woman gives him the prophecy of where the Fomorians are going to invade Ireland. And then it says that the woman is the Morrigan. But then in brackets right after where it says the woman is the Morrigan, there's a Latin word written in, which was a derogatory term for a demon creature known as Lamia. And so the Morrigan's not a Lamia, not a demon. She is a goddess, of course, a goddess of battles, prophecy, and poetry. But it showed really where this faithful Christian monk writing down and scribing out this story felt like they wanted to have their own say, or felt like they needed to, rally for their own team of Christianity, but they didn't do it by corrupting the story. They didn't do it by twisting the language of the story. They had their say in brackets after the fact to make it clear that it was a personal opinion, but that didn't change the story itself. And that information was then carried down through generations, because we know that these books, these tomes, when they aged and stuff began to become less and less visible, they were transcribed, they were copied, and they were kind of relayed to maintain that information on. So is it just stories? I personally don't think it is just stories. They are stories, absolutely. But what we need to look at is the cultural importance and significance of the story. Why do we tell these stories? Is it just to entertain ourselves? Is it just to keep the darkness at bay in the cold winter months? Or is it something that we do to document our reality, to acknowledge the experiences, to share and to inspire, to kind of elevate the human condition beyond just a physical, mundane circumstance? So, yeah, I have opinions about whether they're just stories or not, but I'd be interested in what's your opinion. So let me know wherever you're hearing this or seeing this. Fire it in a comment. Let me know what you think about mythology and where it kind of sits. Is it just stories? Is it just flights of fancy? Or is there some kind of kernels of truth, some kind of information or inspiration that could be gleaned from these tellings of tales? And if you would like to know more about it, I teach a class about the actual documents themselves, about the story cycles in the Irish Pagan School, and talk about how we can date the history of the tomes and any information that comes from them to get an idea, because a lot of people get stuck on the academics of it. And so I did too. And so I went and I studied about it in order to kind of teach a class on it. So if you want to pick that up, it's at the Irish Pagan School. Or if you want to pick up some free teaching, all you got to do is go to irishpagan.school/free. There's a year's worth of free classes there that will get you on the way to exploring your own spiritual growth in line with the storied traditions of Ireland. So until next time, look after yourself. Take care. August Lawn. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fóill, and we will see you next time.